Welcome to our service for the 17th Sunday after Trinity. We begin today a series of sermons in the Acts of the Apostles, that great story of the spread of the gospel across the Mediterranean world between 30 and 65 AD. We begin appropriately with the hymn, Colours of Day Dawn into the Mind, and its chorus, Light up the fire and let the flame burn. It's sung for us by Mike Bainham.
Colours of day dawn into the mind, the sun has come up, the night is behind. Go down in the city and into the street, and let's give a message to the people we meet. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. Go through the park on into the town. The sun still shines on, it never goes down. The light of the world is risen again. The people of darkness are needing a friend. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. Look into the sky. The darkness has come, the sun came to die. The evening draws on, the sun disappears. But Jesus is living, his spirit is near. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show. So light up the fire and let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his spirit and let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus to let his love show.
And so, our time of penitence. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have done and what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 17th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself, and so bring us at last to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The readings this morning are taken from the book of Acts, the first one from Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the second reading is also taken from Acts chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. When we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself, with the soldier who was guarding him. 3 days later, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. Some were convinced by what he had said, while others refused to believe. So they disagreed with each other. And as they were leaving, Paul made one further statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your ancestors, through the prophet Isaiah, go to this people and say, you will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. Let it be known to you then that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there for 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our Bible readings have changed today because, as I said at the beginning, we're starting a series of sermons which tell the story of the Acts of the Apostles. Our first reading was from the first chapter of Acts, and our second from the last chapter. Our New Testament, as most of you know, is divided essentially into two halves. The first half comprises the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark and John, in particular, deal with a very short and specific period of time, just the 2 or 3 years of Jesus' public ministry. Matthew and Luke have stories from earlier in his life, but even they cover just the time between Jesus' birth and his death and resurrection, about 30 years, we think. The second half of the New Testament, the book of Acts and what are traditionally called the epistles, covers, roughly speaking, the next 30 or 35 years. As we heard in our second reading, the book of Acts ends when the Apostle Paul reaches Rome. We don't know exactly when that was, but we are fairly sure that he was executed in Rome about 63 or 64 AD. So Acts ends presumably a little while before that point. We are looking at the second 30 or 40 years of our Christian story. I love the old nonconformist hymn, Blessed Assurance. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. That's why the book of Acts still matters. This is not arid history, and it is certainly not somebody else's history. It is ours. This is our story. This is our song. It's a story written in stone, in the stones of hundreds of millions of churches around the world. But it is only written in the stones of our churches because it was first written on the hearts of thousands of millions of Christian men and women throughout history. The book of Acts begins with the first 11 of them. 11 frightened men, a motley collection of fishermen, tax collectors, and other trades, chosen to all outward appearance more or less at random, certainly not because of any special talent they'd shown or any special training they'd received. One day they were fishermen or tax collectors, the next they were fishers of men and soul collectors. The story which is told in the first half of our New Testament, in the Gospels, is the story of them travelling around with Jesus, from Galilee, where he and most of them came from, to Jerusalem, where he died, and all points in between. Jerusalem, the capital in the south, Galilee, a forgotten territory in the north. You can think of Cardiff and Llandrindod Wells, perhaps, or something like that. Can anything good come out of Llandrindod? Well, one good thing does, and that's its name. Why on earth is there a fairly remote Welsh spa town named Trinity, so far away from Palestine? It's because the Holy Trinity, whose story these men told, became the vision of God in dozens of countries and thousands of hearts in just the 35 years or so which are covered by the book of Acts. We heard the promise of it in our first reading. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It is no coincidence that Acts begins in Jerusalem in chapter 1 and in chapter 28 ends in Rome. It moves from the capital of the Jewish world to the capital of the Gentile world, in truth, to the capital of the whole world, so far as it was known to these people at this time. As we move on through the book, we shall find, time after time, the tension which Paul found even when he arrived in Rome, as recounted in chapter 28. The first Christians were, of course, preaching Jesus Christ, that is to say, Jesus as Messiah. They were claiming that the carpenter from Nazareth was the fulfillment of God's promise to his people, the Jews. But as the story of Acts unfolds, it becomes clear, as in chapter 28, that whereas the Jews of the Roman Empire reject the claim that Jesus is the Messiah, many, many Gentiles begin to accept it. Let it be known to you, says Paul to his Jewish audience in chapter 28, verse 28. Let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. If our story has a hero, if the book of Acts has a human hero, it is certainly the Apostle Paul. The last six chapters of the book are the story of Paul's own journey from Jerusalem, where he's arrested in chapter 23, to Rome, where we see him arrive at the beginning of chapter 28. It is no coincidence that this mirrors the last chapters of the Gospels. Just as in Luke, Jesus is arrested at the instance of the Jewish authorities, put on trial by them, and then passed on to the Roman governor Pilate and Herod Antipas. So in Acts, Paul appears before two later governors, Felix and Festus, and before Herod Agrippa, the later client king of Rome, having first been arrested by the temple authorities in Jerusalem. The Imitatio Christi, as we call it, this imitation of Christ, is a strong factor in the construction of Acts. However, Paul is, of course, just one of the men and women to whose courage we owe the existence of our churches and the tradition of our faith. As we move on through Acts, we shall meet many of them. The other apostles, Peter, of course, James and John, the early deacons, Stephen and Philip, faithful women like Lydia and Priscilla, other great preachers like Barnabas and Apollos. We shall meet the Ethiopian eunuch, who was the first individual African Christian we know of, and the Roman centurion Cornelius, who was the first individual European. We shall meet them, as our author illustrates through them the fulfilment of the psalmist's prophecy that all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. There are Christians now on every continent because of them. Sometimes in our series we shall look aside at the epistles, the letters, which Paul and others wrote to them in the churches which all the apostles founded. We shall see the courage of their overseers, presbyters and deacons, which would continue for centuries as successive Roman emperors continued the persecution of the Christians, which began with the emperor Nero, under whose torture, we believe, Paul and Peter died. But in one sense, the greatest hero of the story of Acts, if we can use such a term of one of the persons of the Trinity, is the Holy Spirit of God. We believe that those 11 frightened apostles had become convinced of the resurrection of Jesus, but they still seem uncertain at the beginning of Acts what to do with that belief, how to share it and witness to it. The Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, almost literally blows the walls out, shows them that this ministry of teaching and healing, which they had learned to exercise under Jesus' leadership in the tiny backwater of Judea, is the beginning of a movement of salvation which they will offer to the whole world, of whom the multiracial crowd of Pentecost are the first representatives and of whom they are the symbol. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, says the Lord, as we've seen. But the full quotation is, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and to the ends of the earth, and so on. Acts is the story, above all, of a mighty movement of the Spirit of God, alive in the lives of the apostles and through them in men and women of every sort and many nations, revealing to them the things of Jesus Christ, and making them, and ultimately us ourselves, forever followers of Him. This is our story. This is our song. Amen.
I heard the voice of Jesus.
Now our time of prayer, beginning with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. In tad de hunwit in a nevoid, sancte dia de enu, dele de dernas, gunella de wechlis, megis in a ne vechli ar a they are hevid. Derani heavio in barab in a theol, a mada ini in de ledion, vel a mada unina in de ledwir, ac na carwani a brovedigaith, eith a gwared ni rhag drwg, can i sydd o ti o'r dernas, o'r gallu, o'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. So to our intercessions. We pray for the Church of Christ. We pray for our Bishop Joanna still off sick. We pray for the Reverend Christopher Frost, who has made the news this week locally by announcing his disillusionment and his stress. We pray for them both. We pray for their families. And we pray that they would know the Lord's presence in their time of trouble. Lord, we hear your voice saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Help each one of us to respond, "Here I am, send me." Help us to take up joyfully whatever mission you may entrust to us. Help us to know that though the task be daunting, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings like eagles, shall run and not be weary, shall walk and not be faint. Lord, show us how to remain close to you, your church, breathing in harmony with you and with each other. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for your world. Your Spirit is around us in the air we breathe. Your glory touches us in the light we see, the fruitfulness of the earth and our joy in its creatures. You have written for us your revelation, as you have granted us our daily bread. Teach us how to read the world, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest all that you make known to us through it. Protect its people, especially those who are in danger or in trouble, those for whom the earth is not producing daily bread at this time for whatever reason. Lord, show us how to remain close to you, breathing in harmony with you and with each other. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our local communities. Lord, guide us so that we may become more sensitive to the needs of all those we live amongst. May we be aware of the need for human contact, for those who are lonely, for those who are reserved. May we be aware of the need for affirmation of those who need our kindness, the need of the young to know that what they have to say is valued by the community as a whole, the need of the old to know that they are not forgotten or seen as useless, the need of us all to know that we are valued because you have set your value upon us. Lord, show us how to remain close to you, breathing in harmony with each other and with you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, when destructive powers rise up and seem to bar our path, and seem to threaten to sweep all before them like a fire in the forest, when the river of life turns into a torrent which rages around us, in all the dangers of our pilgrim journey. We thank you that you are our constant companion. We pray to do today for those who are threatened by the fire, overwhelmed by the waters, frightened by the dangers of the life they live, whether in Ukraine and Russia or Pakistan, wherever it may be. Strengthen them to face the perils of the storm when they threaten to overwhelm them, and show them again that your all-encompassing love is the strongest force in the universe. Lord, show us how to remain close to you, breathing in harmony with you and with each other. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, we thank you for the multitude of gracious souls whose presence has purified and sanctified the world, those we have known and loved, those who have passed from this earthly fellowship into the fuller light of life with you. Help us to breathe in harmony with them and with you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.